How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Justin Buddy's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Daniel.
And today we're doing a podcast.
Whoa!
If you're new to the channel, please smash that subscribe button, hit the like button, comment something that you want us to talk about next week. As you're going to see throughout this video, we took your suggestions from last week, and we're talking about it this week. So let's get into the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so starting off the podcast with some crazy movie news. As we know, we'll get into Spider-Verse. We'll get into all the craziness
that
unfolds in that movie. But before we get into Spider-Verse, there are some other news that we need to talk about. Okay, so this week there was some crazy news. For everyone who loves How to Train Your Dragon, there is a huge announcement. How to Train Your Dragon is coming to live action.
Ooh.
Now, what's great about live action is it basically, we got to relive, you know, the magic from this animated movie.
Yeah.
So what we have here is some castings for the live action movie. As Hiccup, we have Mason Thames, who was in The Black Phone.
Okay.
And Nico Parker, who plays Joel's daughter from The Last of Us, will be playing Astrid.
Wow.
So, very promising cast so far.
Yeah.
Both talented young actors, and I feel like they fit their, you know, casting very good.
Right. Oh, man. When's the last time I saw How to Train Your Dragon? That's kind of exciting.
No, I know. It is amazing. And what's so cool, too, is the creator of How to Train Your Dragon, who directed and made the animated version, Dean DeBlois, is actually coming back to do the live action version too.
Wow. Okay. So it's going to be like almost like the same thing, kind of in a way.
I mean, yeah. At least it's so smart, right? Like for The Last of Us, they brought back the creator of The Last of Us who worked on the game to, you know, work on the movie, the show. So I think whenever you can bring back the original creator, the original, you know, one that really got the movie off the ground, the one that we all love, if you bring them back, they should be able to recreate magic again and keep things on track.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the next piece of news, we have Deadpool 3. You know, last week we talked about Deadpool 3, how, you know, there's a lot of things going on with the writer's strike and how Ryan Reynolds can't improvise lines. It's against the law for him to go off script, and he has to stick to the Deadpool 3 script. And also, with that news, there's also some crazy news that just came on Twitter.
Ooh.
And that is that Halle Berry and then Frank Jensen and James Marsden, Storm from the original X-Men, Jean Grey, and Cyclops from the original X-Men are all set to return in Deadpool 3.
Really?
I mean, I know we've talked about that there's been talks that the Fox universe is going to be coming back. But, I mean, it looks like we're going to get it.
Interesting. Oh, that's crazy.
Okay, now, before we get into this next part of the podcast, I think spoiler territory, okay? So we're going to talk about Spider-Verse. Now, for everyone who hasn't seen Spider-Verse, skip ahead of the podcast because Spider-Verse was such a well-done movie.
Yes.
So magical, and you definitely don't want that experience ruined for you.
Right.
And we don't want to be the ones to ruin it for you. But to be clear, this comes out on Sunday, this video that you're listening to or you're watching. So the movie has now been out for technically for some people 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you better get to the theater.
You got to go
as soon as you can because it's bound to get ruined. Social media is going to start talking. Easter eggs are going to be leaked.
Yeah.
Spoilers, everything. So make sure you go watch the movie. But with that being said, live action, Miles Morales, Amy Pascal, you know, the night of the premiere announced that, hey, yeah, we are working on a live action Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Now, for everyone who saw Spider-Verse, this is really interesting, right? Because we see the spot, he travels throughout the multiverse, right? We see him go to the Lego universe.
Mm-hmm.
We see him go to Venom's universe. And he takes a pack of gum with him.
Right.
Right? So, like, we see what that confirms and why that's such a big deal is it's really cool to see how the spot, when he moves into another dimension, right, another multiverse, he stays in animated form.
Yeah.
You know, he enters Venom's universe. He's still animated. So, with that being said, Miles, most likely, if he were to go to Toby's universe or Andrew's universe or Tom's universe or Venom's universe, he would be animated still.
Yeah. That's what's interesting about it because we see the spot does stay animated in every single universe he visits.
Right. And to even prove that even further, we see that Donald Glover, right, who we know is in Spider-Man Homecoming, who plays Miles' uncle, and he actually played Miles' uncle in Spider-Man Homecoming, was the Prowler in, you know, like, the museum of
all
the villains.
Yeah.
Donald Glover is a real-life person, and he was a real-life Prowler.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if Tom, Toby, or Andrew were to come in, they would be real people.
Real people, yeah.
And
we
do see Andrew and Toby in the movie, right, through, like, the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because it basically confirms this whole time, you know, we've been trying to speculate what happens when Miles goes to the real world. Is Tom going to come into the Spider-Verse and will he be animated? But come to find out, no, he's going to be Tom Holland.
Tom Holland, yeah.
And it's going to be live action, and it's going to be so epic when we see this crossover where real life characters fighting animated characters, which I think is going to be so cool to see.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting because that's something we haven't seen before.
I mean, it reminds me of like Roger Rabbit, right?
Yeah, exactly like that.
So
you get the live action versus the animated.
I think too, what was really cool is we got to go to a screening for IMAX.
Uh huh.
And I believe his name's Joaquin.
Yeah.
So Joaquin, co-director of Spider-Verse, Across Spider-Verse. You know, he sat down and did like a really insightful Q&A, and we learned a lot, right? We learned a lot about the process of how it spent, like how much time it took to make the film.
Yes.
Over 1,000 different, you know, artists, producers, like people working on this film coming together. And I think he said, what did he say? It would take 783 hours.
Yeah. Something like that for like, if it was like just streamlined through one person or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would take that many hours. But thankfully they had a lot of people. So,
and what's cool is like there's three directors, right? Most movies have one, right? The Russo brothers are a duo, so yeah, they're a rare occurrence when you have two directors. But for Spider-Verse to have three directors, what Joaquin's talked about was that it allowed them to all play like different roles. Like one person was in charge of like this part of the scene, or then like this person was trying to make sure that this part of the scene was ready, and like it allowed them to focus on many different parts of the movie. And with the movie being so big, you need three directors for something like that.
Yeah, especially for like the extensive process they need to go through for everything. Every little detail, they need to like go through this whole crazy process.
He also talked about how like Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
Spider-Ham.
Peter Porker.
Or something like that. Got cut out of the movie. And that means that he will most likely be in the next one.
Yeah.
And that originally people actually saw a version of the movie where they combined Across the Spider-Verse and Beyond the Spider-Verse, which is the second part, technically.
Yeah.
And they combined it, right? But right now we only got Across the Spider-Verse, and we have to wait till 2024 to see Beyond the Spider-Verse. But for some people, they actually saw a version of the movie that combined Across the Spider-Verse and Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, so they didn't have the to be continued at the end. They just jumped in.
I mean, Beyond the Spider-Verse is a lot of it might be done.
You're right. It's probably pretty close to being done, especially because it's releasing next year, March.
Yeah, so what Joaquin said was originally the plan was Into the Spider-Verse, and then Across the Spider-Verse and Beyond the Spider-Verse were going to be one movie, and then there's a third movie that we don't know what the title is.
Yeah.
So technically, with that being said, if they continue to do that, right, it would be Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse, Beyond the Spider-Verse, and then a fourth movie.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to combine that fourth movie now with Beyond the Spider-Verse.
It makes sense that they would do that just to keep it a trilogy. I would think that's what they would do.
You think they're going to stop after three? There's too many characters. Do spinoffs then, I guess.
I know. I feel like, isn't a Spider-Woman movie coming too?
In animated form?
Yeah. I think that's...
I mean, I believe it.
Yeah. I think I saw that somewhere.
It is going to be interesting to see how they continue it. The one thing that I'm kind of concerned about is there's so many animated versions of Spider-Man.
Oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
And Spider-Villains.
Right.
A lot of animated.
Uh-huh.
Which I get, it's animated movie. But when you start incorporating like, oh, you got Toby and you got Tom, you got Andrew, right?
Uh-huh.
You're telling me there's only three versions that are considered real life?
Real life. Oh, that makes sense.
You know, and then you have all these characters that are animated.
Right. I mean, I guess, yeah, that is a little bit.
And then
funky.
You look at like Kang the Conqueror, right?
Yeah.
Who has thousands of variants at the end of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And they're all human form.
Right.
So you're telling me that there's no animated Kangs?
Yeah. That's a good point, because it doesn't really make sense, because they go through like the whole like Spider-Verse timeline, right? You see like when they create the web, the big web, you see all the different animated Spider-Man, but then you also see Andrew in that line of losing Captain Stacy.
Yeah, so it's gonna be interesting how they answer that. Like, I get it, right? It's an animated movie, but it answers some question, but it also raises a lot of questions. Like, where are all the real life Spider-Men?
Yeah, that is one concern, yeah.
For all 100,000 Kang variants, mm-hmm. you're telling me there's not...
one animated?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, okay, yeah.
And also, I never thought of that. You're telling me that there's not 100,000 other Spider-Men that are real life?
That are real life. Yeah. Because if Kang could do it because of the multiverse, then Spider-Man should be able to do it because of the multiverse.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they answer that. Or maybe something happens where, like, all of a sudden, every single Spider-Verse animated character becomes real life.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because beyond the Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean just outside the animated world of the Spider-Verse? Or does that mean other heroes besides Spider-Man?
It is a good question to talk about because when we look at the movies, right, we have Into the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. and we see Miles get exposed to Peter B. Parker, Gwen, right? Yeah. These characters that don't exist in his universe. And technically, he's entering, right? He's into the Spider-Verse mm-hmm. now where he's finally understanding what's going on. Then we have Across the Spider-Verse, where he literally travels across the Spider-Verse, seeing new variants,
yeah.
new versions. And he's starting to like see like the whole system of like how there's thousands. And then beyond the Spider-Verse, it only makes sense that there would be something beyond just the Spider-Verse group. So
exactly.
that could be other heroes. It could right. be, but it also could be, you can argue that maybe it is live action.
Yeah. In the movie, right, we do see the branch timeline of the MCU pretty much. The one we see in Loki,
uh-huh.
right? We see the sacred timeline start branching.
Yeah.
And then it switches to the Spider-Verse.
Uh-huh.
So technically, that could be the beyond the Spider-Verse. So we have the branch timeline, right in Loki, and okay. we see that in Across the Spider-Verse.
Right.
And then they start showing the actual Spider-Verse with the webs.
Uh-huh.
Right, so the branch timeline could be the beyond the Spider-Verse. That's what they're talking about.
So, like, what's happening in Loki?
Or, well, just visiting an actual timeline of not just Spider-Verse.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally, like, reasonable.
Yeah.
As we know, like, even though Sony and Marvel and Disney, like, they have to have this interesting relationship where they're trying to share Tom Holland and share the rights of Spider-Man, I truly believe for the better of the story, they will come together and, like, figure out a merge. Like, okay, yeah, let's try to, if we're going to go beyond the Spider-Verse and we're going to go through the MCU, let's try to make it the best way possible.
Yeah.
And it's totally valid. I think, like, as we know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now is in their multiverse storyline, right? The saga of the multiverse.
The multiverse saga, yeah.
So it makes total sense to merge it with Across the Spider-Verse, Beyond the Spider-Verse, because it is a multiverse story.
Right. I mean, yeah. It makes sense.
If you're Marvel and you're having a multiverse story, you need to have multiple versions of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Outside of just Toby, Tom, and Andrew.
That is true, because it doesn't make sense that those are the only live-action Spider-Man.
No. Every character has... Look at... There's so many.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
That's where it gets really, like wishy-washy, very... I don't know.
Unless that's just how the Spider-Verse is. There's three live-action Spider-Man, and then all the others are... animated / comic book.
That's crazy. Yeah, that is crazy.
It could be that way, though.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Right now, that's what it is.
Right.
I don't know.
Spectacular movie.
Very good movie. Super amazing. Everything. We got to think of new words to say. But what I'm trying to get at is that it's so good. In terms of numbers, I would give it a 9 to 10 out of 10. Like, yeah. 9.5 out of 10. I hate giving out 10 out of 10s. Like, but I do know that if there was a movie to give a 10 out of 10 to, it would be this one.
Yeah,
right? There's some 10 out of 10 movies that we've seen. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I think this kind of falls under that role of 10 out of 10.
Especially because, like, this movie showed so much backstory of, like, Gwen. We see so much depth within the characters. I mean, you really feel a connection with the characters in this movie. Like, I feel that with each Spider-Man...
Uh-huh.
Right, that we see, you kind of, like, you feel, like, their emotion. Like, you feel their story, like, Miguel's story. You feel his story, like, how he was broken.
Yeah.
You feel how Gwen was broken. You feel how Peter B. Parker was broken. And now we might get Miles will be broken. You know what I mean?
Really interesting, too, about Miles' story is Miles really hasn't experienced his Uncle Ben loss.
Yeah.
Like, he lost his Uncle Aaron,
right?
But... he's destined to lose his dad every time Peter Parker or Gwen Stacy's mm-hmm. dad becomes captain. Sorry, it's not Peter Parker's dad, but like every time the captain.
There's a captain that's close to a Spider-Man, right. They die. Yeah.
Right. So it is bound to happen.
Yeah, which is really sad.
But I was thinking like it would be such an interesting twist if the mom dies.
Ooh.
It's so sad.
That would be a heartbreak.
It almost seems like it'd be more impactful than the dad.
The dad.
Because the dad and Miles, I feel like they have a lot of work to do on the relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas the mom was always the one to kind of like help Miles through situations, like teach him lessons, right? And also try to understand where he's at.
Right.
So if he loses her, it's almost setting up the story for her to be gone.
Yeah.
And then Miles and the dad have to work through it.
Oh.
Right? Because everyone's thinking like,
right.
Captain, you know, the captain's going to die.
You're totally right.
But
gosh.
We'll move on to the next segment. But for now, make sure you guys watch Across the Spider-Verse. It is just phenomenal. We've seen it twice so far, and I just can't get enough of the movie.
Yeah, so shifting gears, we're going into the weird and wacky news of this week. So this week, an airport actually arrested this man that has been caught doing the same crime over and over again. And what he does is, when a plane is taking off at the airport,
okay,
before it takes off, he will sneak into the compartment of where the wheels are on the plane. So he will climb up the wheel and sneak into the compartment. You know, like how like the wheels like retract into the plane.
So on the tarmac, when the plane hasn't taken off yet,
like say they're like loading up the luggage.
Yeah.
Right. He will sneak on and climb up like the wheel and hide in that compartment.
Wow. Okay.
So this time he wanted to go from Houston to Miami. And so he was going to stay in that compartment for a 2.5 hour flight.
Wow.
Now, they caught him before he did it, before the plane took off. But it's crazy that he's done this before.
But has he successfully been on a flight in the air?
Who knows? We don't know. Like, he's only been caught twice doing this. So if he's been caught doing it, he must have done it before. Without getting caught.
That is really funny.
Right? And then, like, the police said that like the section he was in of the plane could have crashed the plane. It could have, like, put all the passengers in danger.
Wait, why?
I don't know.
So the place he hides in?
Yeah.
Could have killed everyone?
That's what the police said.
Okay, you know what, though? I do feel that if there's a chance that something can get into that compartment and kill everyone on that plane, you better have workers by those compartments at all times watching.
That is,
because how the heck does he even get in there, right? I'm really upset. You know why? Because if I ever go on a, I already have like anxiety to fly.
Right.
Okay. So you're telling me that if somebody gets on the tarmac and wants to hide in that airplane, you know, spot.
Yeah.
That compartment.
Right.
It can cause a crash.
That's what the police said. It said they were in grave danger.
So let me ask you this. If that's the case.
Yeah.
Is it really this mentally unstable person's fault for wanting to get in this compartment, or is it the airport's fault?
Because it's obviously the airport's fault.
Yeah, of course. It is the airport's fault, and you guys got to do better, because I am not. That's just another thing to worry about now when you go fly.
Because, he's definitely done it before if he has the confidence to do it. You know what I mean? If you have the confidence to do something as crazy as that, you've done it before.
Yeah, who even thinks of that?
Yeah. So on to the next story. We're talking about Sonic's, the restaurant.
Okay.
So we all know Sonic's, right? You have like the little drive-thru. You can pull up to your own personal drive-thru. They bring out the food.
Yeah.
Right? You order from the menu. But there's this Sonic's where this couple, or there was like, it was like two people. They ordered a hot dog and they asked for jalapenos on the side.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when they got the hot dog, the jalapenos were on the hot dog. So this made the customer like freak out. Okay. Because the jalapenos were on the hot dog. Okay. They just started freaking out. They were arguing with the employees, right? They're getting in arguments. And then the manager of the Sonic stepped in the argument, tried to like calm everybody down. But then the customer decided to try to get into the area of where it says like employees only.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the back room of like, you can just, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, employees only. Yeah.
So the manager decided to stand in front of the door, like saying, you can't come in here. Like, what are you doing? So then the customer decided, look, we're just going to handle this a different way. He decides to grab the manager, drag him out of the store, and just beat him up.
Oh my gosh.
Over some jalapenos.
Dang. So this is just like, this has just happened.
This has just happened at a Sonic's.
And dang, it'd be wild at Sonic's.
the customer asked for just jalapenos on the side, and they got jalapenos on the hot dog when it came to them. And that's why they were upset.
People, you gotta chill out.
I mean, come on. You could have just taken the jalapenos off. Or just tell them, and they'll make you a new one.
Okay, I have to disagree with you, though.
Okay, yeah?
With the... You can't just take them off.
That's why I said you can just have them make you a new one.
Because that's one thing that really bothers me. Like,
yeah,
when someone orders jalapenos on pizza, right, and you try to take off those jalapenos,
it's still hot.
Yeah, the remnants of like the juice and the seeds, it's all over that pizza.
Right.
Like, that thing is still a jalapeno pizza.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, so they could have just made them another one.
Yeah. I think that's totally fair to make another one.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why the customer had to argue. I mean, not the customer. I don't know why the Sonic employees just kept arguing with them instead of just making them a new one.
Just make them a new one.
Yeah. In that regard, the Sonic employee was kind of asking for it.
Yeah.
You should have just made them a new one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get. Yeah, that makes no sense.
So on to the last thing. We're getting some video game news.
Okay.
So apparently there's a new zombie apocalypse video game coming out.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it looks pretty insane. Like, it looks super realistic, and you know, we've been getting a lot of video games where a lot of celebrities are like the stars of these video games, right? Yeah. They're the characters. And for this specific game, I want you to try to guess who the main character is. It's a zombie apocalypse game.
Well, I'll tell you who I think would be such like a funny casting, because like, oh, of course you're gonna get this person, but yeah, no way they said yes,
right?
It would be Rick Grimes, the actor who plays Rick Grimes.
Okay, it is not the actor who plays Rick Grimes.
Is it Norman Reedus?
No.
Oh, okay.
It is Will Smith.
What?
In a zombie apocalypse game. And it's crazy because the zombie apocalypse game looks exactly like I Am Legend.
Okay, so is it an I Am Legend game?
No, it's called like Undawn or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there footage of the game? Or?
There's like, it's like cinematic footage. It's not like actual gameplay. It's cinematic.
So it's a cinematic trailer.
Yeah.
And Will Smith is in the trailer?
Will Smith is in trailer.
So what does it look like? Are we talking like in the future? Or does it take place now?
No, it literally looks like it takes place now.
So it looks like it takes place in like a 2023, like apocalyptic world.
Right. Wow. It looks exactly like I Am Legend. Like exactly like it. Like, you know how like all over the buildings, there's like plants growing all over the buildings, everything. Like everything's like messed up like that. It looks exactly like that.
I guess it would make sense that I know like Will Smith's career hasn't been like all that great after the slap, you know? They probably are like,
the slap.
Let's just, you know, like, post-slap, Will, you know, we got to do this game. You know, we were supposed to do I Am Legend 2, but, you know, I think we're going to roll with the game.
That would be, okay, it'd be so funny if they put in, like, a little, like, slap. You could, like, slap the zombies.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be funny.
No, you know what would be really funny?
What?
If Fortnite had a Will Smith skin, and you literally, as a pickaxe, it was just, like, a big foam hand, and it's just a slap.
Oh, my gosh.
And you could, like, break material to slap it.
That would be insane.
They should have just made the emote, or made at least like the what I'm talking about, like a pickaxe.
Yeah. If Fortnite put that in the game, that would go crazy. Like, that would be absolutely insane, because they have like emotes now where you could emote with another person, right?
Yeah.
So if you had like an emote like that and you slapped the other person, that'd be pretty cool.
It would be. Crazy stuff. Okay, so moving on, I want to talk about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I have a crazy theory that needs to be discussed. I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about. There's a lot of Easter eggs. There's a lot of little hidden details that really shape the future of the movie. And yeah. I think that needs to be discussed right now.
There's definitely a lot. Like, we got Miles right here and Spider-Punk, but oh, yeah, there's just so much.
So there's a crazy theory about Miles' future from Across the Spider-Verse.
Is it a sad theory?
Well, it is kind of sad, because when we see Miles and Gwen go to Mombatsen and they fail at stopping the spot, and he creates a huge explosion, allowing him to reach his full power, the spot gives a glimpse of Miles' future to him. And in the future, we see that Miles' dad tries to save a kid, but in the process of saving the kid, he dies. And we see right after that, if you look at the movie very closely, you will see a scene where all the Spider-Man variants are dead on the highway. You can see Cyborg Spider-Woman dead on the ground, and you see all the variants with her.
Wait, so that means it's going to happen in the next movie then, right?
No, so this is where the theory comes in. Since the spot shows Miles what's going to happen in the future, it's considered a canon event where his dad is supposed to die, but along with his dad dying, all the Spider-Man variants are supposed to die too. So the theory is that Miles will actually have to break the canon event by saving his dad's life, and in turn, it will actually save all the variants of Spider-Man's lives too.
So technically, this whole time, Miles is right for trying to save his dad.
Yeah, because technically, if Miles' dad dies, then all the Spider-Man variants die with it. And they kind of subtly did this in the movie, where you literally just see it happen for a split second on the screen, but you see all the dead Spider-Man variants on the highway.
Interesting. So by Miles breaking the canon event by saving his dad, it will in turn save the other Spider-Man because he now broke that canon event.
Right.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah. So speaking of earlier, in the we talked about Sonics earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to tell you a crazy story about Sonics.
Oh, boy.
Did I ever tell you how I got all the workers at Sonics fired?
How did you even do that?
Okay, so 3 years ago, for everyone who doesn't know, I used to surprise Deanna with a fish tank full of food. And one time I went to Sonic's to get a fish tank full of slushy. So I walk up to the counter and I'm like, hey, could I get a fish tank full of slushy? And the workers like looked at me, they're like, yeah, let's do it. Sure, come behind the counter. So I literally get the fish tank and I go behind the counter and I go to like where the drive-through area is, and they just start pulling the handles down and letting the fish tank full up with slushy. And like at this point, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe all these workers are doing it. Like they're all hopping in the video and everyone's laughing. And it was super funny. So I fill up the fish tank. It's completely full. I go and pay and I just go home.
Okay, I remember that fish tank. I just don't remember you getting people fired.
So what happened was the video went kind of viral and someone suggested go back to Sonic's and get a fish tank full of hot dogs. So I literally go back to Sonic's and I walk in and I'm like, hey, can I get a fish tank full of hot dogs? The manager walks up to me and says like, hey, like you're going to have to leave because everyone that was in your video last week, like all the workers all got fired for trying to help me fill up the fish tank.
Are you serious?
I felt so bad for these kids because at the time, the manager that was there was totally cool with it.
That's crazy.
It was so traumatizing. I felt so bad for them. I was like, dude, it made me not want to make videos anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you getting me the slushy. Like, I remember that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that happened.
I think I felt so bad when it happened.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even want to talk about it. To hear these people lost their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're young. They're like kids.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But, like,
they obviously didn't know, like, that was a rule.
For health reasons.
Yeah, health reasons. Okay.
It does look kind of bad,
though. Yeah. Dude, that's crazy. Okay, so going back to the topic of Spider-Verse, though, I also brought some pretty crazy theories about Spider-Verse.
Bring them on. Let's go. Let's start. Let's get the hype ready for 2024.
So there's a crazy Across the Spider-Verse theory about the spider that bit Miles. But huge spoiler alert for everybody watching, because we now know that the spider that bit Miles is from another universe, and it's actually from Earth 42. Because when the Spot and Miles are fighting at Alchemex, the Spot says that he was the one that brought the spider from Earth 42 into Earth 1610, which is Miles' universe.
Right.
But when you look at the flashback of when the Spot is explaining the story of when he took the spider, in Earth 42, you see right before the spider is taken, it's gonna bite the alternate Miles, the one with the braids and the one that becomes the Prowler later on. So that means in Earth 42, Miles is supposed to be Spider-Man and not Peter Parker. But since it was taken, he becomes the Prowler. And since it was taken out of Earth 42 and it was looking for Miles, when it comes into 1610, it knows to look for Miles. So that's why Miles got bit.
Dude, the hidden details in this movie is crazy.
Right? It's such like a hidden detail because he's just explaining the story. But when you see the spider crawling to Miles, it's the Miles with braids. So you know it's Earth 42.
Right, and it makes sense that the spider would go after Miles, right?
Right.
If it was destined to bite Miles in 42, it should also want to go bite Miles in 1610.
Exactly.
It is amazing how well connected it was to the first film. And the first film was so, like, you know, it was years and years ago, right? 2017 or whatever. And now we're 2023.
Yeah, and we all know how good this movie is. Like, it's literally one of the best comic book movies ever existing. Like, it's one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, right now I think it's one of the highest rated superhero films of all time.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you the bad reviews of Across the Spider-Verse written by top critics of Rotten Tomatoes.
How could there be bad reviews for this movie? It's literally one of the best superhero movies ever.
So the first one is, I knew we'd get stuck with a sequel eventually, but I didn't expect them to suck most of the joy out of it.
I was so joyful the whole time.
The next one is, what once seemed brain-bending original now seems overfamiliar. How do you get overfamiliar? This is one of its kind. Like, this is the first of its kind.
I mean, it was groundbreaking, and it was a sequel. I think the sequel surpassed the first one.
Yeah, and the last one. This overstuffed movie takes too long to define the plot. Its barrage of inconsistent visuals that often look like ugly comic book graffiti. She's literally calling the movie ugly.
This was the most beautiful film of all time.
How do you say this is ugly? How do you say that movie's ugly?
It's crazy. They're crazy. They better test these people for some drug use.
That is ridiculous. You can't say this movie is ugly when the animation in this film inspired so many other animation movies.
I mean, look at how, it literally paved the way for many animation styles to come about.
Yeah, you literally can't say that this is ugly.
Yeah, go home.
I mean, it is just crazy how people think that movie's so bad. Like, it's not, it's phenomenal. Like, it's rated, it's taking over the world
right
now. You
know my theory?
What?
That they are literally just hungry for attention. Like, they just want, you know what I mean? They want to
stick. They've got to be.
They just want to stick out. Because if they say, like, you know, all, like, all the things they loved about the movie, or, like, all the positive things, they're like,
that
is true. Look at everyone else, right? But since they go the total opposite, everyone's going to be talking about these reviewers, and they're going to get their, like, 5 minutes of fame.
Yeah. So I know the past few weeks I've been talking about AI and how it's been casting different movies and shows.
Yeah, it is scary how accurate, like, the casting is. They go into, like, they probably go into, like, ratings, and they know, like, how much people love certain people, you know? It, like, gets a whole, there's a whole thing behind it.
Yeah, so this is what happens when AI casts Star Wars as if it was made today.
So let's see how good the casting is.
Okay, so first, as Han Solo, we have Taron Egerton. Then as Princess Leia, we have Willa Holland. Luke Skywalker is Tom Holland. Old Obi-Wan Kenobi is Michael Caine. And middle-aged Obi-Wan is Michael Fassbender.
Honestly, I could see Michael Fassbender being Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and as Anakin Skywalker, we have Andrew Garfield. Then as Emperor Palpatine, we have Matthew McConaughey. Padme will be Anne Hathaway. Count Dooku will be Liam Neeson. Ewan McGregor will actually be Qui-Gon Jinn.
It would be really interesting if they redid it like this.
Right? It's kind of crazy because I feel like Andrew Garfield could play a good Anakin.
No, Andrew Garfield is for sure a great Anakin. Like, you could see it. He has the look for Anakin.
Yeah,
right? You could see him do the short hair, right, for episode 2. And then you could see how he could do the long hair for episode 3.
Right. And he has, like, that darkness in him from, like, Spider-Man 2, right? He has that loss, that feeling of loss.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be a really good
dog. It
could
be good. It gets weird, though, when you talk about Liam Neeson being Count Dooku and Ewan McGregor being Qui-Gon Jinn. I think that's a little weird.
But also going back to the topic of theories, there's a crazy Stranger Things theory.
I'm still, you know, I'm hyped for Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, and then I'm hyped for Stranger Things Season 5. There's, like, those are both going to probably come out around the same time.
So Billy could be possibly coming back for Season 5, because when you really think about it and you go back to Season 3, when he's in the Upside Down, he sees another version of himself and there's multiple other people behind him. So that means there's multiple versions of people in the Upside Down.
It does make sense that there would be multiple.
Yeah, so that means Billy could come back. It's just a different version of Billy, because when you really think about it, how does it make sense that the group goes to the Upside Down in Season 4 and they don't see any other versions of people there? Like, they still have to be down there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little weird that they don't see anybody.
Right, and the Duffer Brothers say that everything we see on screen is there for a reason and has a purpose. And many people are pointing out that on Billy's license plate, it has the numbers 235. Because Billy debuted in Season 2, he died in Season 3, and he's coming back for Season 5.
There's no way that the number on his license plate is just a coincidence.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? Because how... The Duffer Brothers literally say everything is there for a reason. Everything. Why would they put that license plate there?
Well, look at Spider-Man No Way Home, right? Spider-Man No Way Home, how important license plates were.
Right.
Like, all movies have some significance with license plate. It's foreshadowing something.
And you know what's interesting, too? I looked it up. You could buy the license plate. So if you could buy it, it's probably got some meaning to it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you could buy it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could buy it.
There's a reason behind it, then.
Yeah, and also this week, I was going down a little bit of a rabbit hole about kids books.
Oh, the rabbit hole of kids books. Can't say I've ever crawled through that one.
So the kids book Rainbow Fish, the book that we all read when we were younger, is actually a really bad book, and it teaches kids really bad lessons, and I never noticed it until now.
Dude, how is that book bad? It seemed like a very happy book.
So the story is about a fish that has beautiful scales, and it never wants to share its scales because that's what makes him unique. Like, fish ask him, can I have one of your scales? And he just says no, so they decide not to play with him, and that makes him really lonely. But the rainbow fish comes across an octopus that tells him, if you give away your scales, you'll find happiness. So the rainbow fish gave one of his scales to another fish. And after that, all the fish started asking the rainbow fish for his scales. And he started to give them out until all of them just had one scale, including the rainbow fish. So when you really think about it, this book is teaching kids that they could buy their friendship and give away the stuff that makes them unique instead of just learning to be a nice person.
Oh my gosh, I never realized how bad the book is.
That's so bad. When you really read it again, it's bad.
Yeah.
Right, it starts off, the fish is kind of arrogant because it's so beautiful.
Right.
So it's like, no, I don't want to play with you guys. Right? But then it found itself really lonely. And the octopus tells it, if you give the stuff that makes you unique away and the stuff that people want, if you give that away, you'll find happiness.
That's such bad logic.
Right.
You really think about it. I can't believe, you know, we grew up all reading this book.
Exactly. And so the fish gives his scales away and buying his friendship. And now they go play.
Oh, that's so sad.
Right? That's really sad because it's like you have to give away what's unique to you and give away what people want just so you could have happiness? No, that's not how it works. You should just learn to be unique, but also be nice. Be kind to people.
All right, guys, if you made it this far on the podcast, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. If you're new to the channel, please hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, leave a rating on the podcast. I don't know. Comment what you want us to talk about next week. If you're new to the channel too, and you don't know that, we have a Patreon where you can actually join our Patreon, and it allows every Patreon member to come on the podcast, tell any crazy stories, vent about life, and you can be on the podcast. So make sure you check out our Patreon. It is, the link is in our description and also in the top comment of the video. It'll be pinned. So make sure you go check that out. And guys, we'll see you tomorrow on TikTok, and we'll see you guys next Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
We'll see you on the TikTok.
God bless you guys. See ya.
Love ya.